Chapter 17, verse number 1 of Matthew says, "And after 6 days Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringing them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them." Can you imagine being there that day and experiencing what they experienced? "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses," they've been dead a long time, "Moses and Elias," or Elijah, "and answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here?" Perhaps in today's language, he said, "Lord, this is cool. I like this. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to expound upon something today, and I don't want you to be intimidated, and I'll try not to be too deep in theology. These guys just experienced a theophany. Somebody say theophany.
Theophany.
Theophany. How many's ever heard that word besides Jacob? Okay. A theophany. Now, you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's not as complicated as it sounds, but they experienced a theophany. Most of you perhaps have heard, and perhaps some of you have had a close encounter, like perhaps the disciples did on the mount there. But unfortunately, I hate to say this, but it's probably your encounter has been everything but Jesus. Come on. But looking at these scriptures I just read, these disciples just had such an experience. One that literally changed their lives. It was the pivotal moment that rocked their world and forever left them changed with an experience of a theophany that they had trouble explaining. If ever before the time in which we live, we need such an experience. And somebody say amen. We need such an experience that will shake us and leave us changed, forever changed. An experience that would result in the turning point of our life, that we would move into the spiritual realm, leaving earthly desires behind and seeking a heavenly visitation from God Himself, that would leave us spellbound and touch our very being to the depths of our soul and captivate our minds and captivate our hearts to where we no longer live by our feelings, but we walk by faith, knowing that Jesus Christ is forever the one that needs to be our continual theophany. There is a word that most of us, and most of you, I've already said, I don't think, but maybe one or two lifted their hands, knows that it exists or knows of its meaning. And for sure, we've never had a real manifestation of its contents. There's so many in the Bible that we read about having such an experience, yet we fail to explore personally the depths of that impact. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm preaching this morning. And again, I mentioned to you, I'll try not to be too theological this morning, but so often we just skim over the surface of God's Word and the impact that it should make upon our life.
We have this thing that we've got to read through the Bible in a year, but we really don't let it absorb into our hearts and our life. And there's nothing wrong reading through it. You need to do that. But at the same time, we need to stop and pause long enough that it will absorb into our spirit man. For instance, the scripture that I just read to you, what impact would that have made on us in our life if we had been there that day? What impact? Think about it. And I've been in church services before where the presence of God was rich and real. But I never did see Moses or Elijah show up. I didn't hear an audible voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." But he has spoken that many times. What impact? I ask you today to search your heart, search your emotions, search your beings. What impact would that have made on our life if we had been there that day with the disciples? Even greater than that, what result would have it have made on our spiritual being, our spiritual man? Would it have lasted, if we'd had that experience, would it have lasted a day or two, or an hour or two, or at least till we get out of church and almost get home? Would that experience have lasted a week or so? Have we ever had an encounter in such that it changed our lives forever and we didn't look at circumstances as we do anymore? And again, this word that I have already revealed to you, theophany, is an ancient Greek word that simply means this. It's a big word, but not hard to comprehend. Theophany simply means that you have had a visible manifestation from God or by God, by Himself personally. Huh? Come on, somebody. Some kind of physical appearance, some kind of personal manifestation. That's what a theophany is. And how many today would like to have a theophany, even though you can't spell it? It is a personal manifestation, a visible manifestation of Almighty God, of some physical appearance that comes to you and changes your life and allows you to understand and know that there's something more that we've got to feel. There's something more we've got to experience. Oh, church, today we come, just go through the motions sometimes, but we need to stop and find us a place that we have a theophany where we can get along with God, and God physically comes down in our midst. He physically appears to us. He physically manifests His power to us. It is a point in our life that results in an extreme turning of our lives around and giving God our everything and our all. And it's not because the disciples, when they experienced all that, the Bible says that they feared. And Jesus told them, "Don't fear. Don't fear these things. It's the Spirit and the power of God." But I would say today, if we would have some kind of an experience like that, it'd scare us so bad that we probably couldn't speak for a day or two. But we need that kind of experience, church. We need to be anticipating it. Somebody say anticipate. We need to be anticipating that kind of a move of God in our hearts and our lives. And this hour, I believe with all of my heart that we need to know the Spirit and the presence of God and allow Him to speak to us. In third world countries, and especially in China, they have to have underground churches and underground services. And many of them, they cannot broadcast it because it will get out. But it's the Spirit of God that leads those people. They have such a theophany, a kind of experience that the Spirit of God speaks to their heart and tells them where to go and tells them where to meet. And they'll sit for hours just to hear the Word of God, just to have God manifest Himself to them and know that there's something greater, know that there's something more powerful. I'm here to tell you, church, we are a spoiled bunch of people, but we need a theophany today that God removed in our midst. God, stir us today, a pivotal moment Many times people experience a theophany.
Yes.
Through a crisis.
Yes.
Can I tell you, many times that pivotal moment comes through a crisis, but it didn't have to. But oftentimes it does, and that's what it takes to have that kind of experience. I say, God poured on us. Chris and them sing a song that says, sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes there are circumstances of our lives we have to experience things before it really gets a hold of me. But I'm here today to tell you that, church, we need a theophany that will touch our hearts and touch our lives to the very depths of our soul, to where we are forever changed in our lives. If you have trouble with that word theophany, just talk to Brother Jacob. He'll explain it to you better than I. But we was talking about it the other day. But I'm so glad today, church, that sometimes if it's what it takes, let my mountain get in my way to where I can pray my way through it, around it, or over it. God, somewhere, somehow, let that troubled sea speak to my heart to where I have a visible manifestation of God's almighty spirit and power that comes into my heart and comes into my life. Somebody today, I pray, God, give us a theophany that we might experience a manifestation of God's presence. Moses had several theophanies. And being that it's of such, if you ask Brother Jacob about it, he'll probably tell you that I didn't get real close to pronouncing it right, but nevertheless, I want to tell you today it's a manifestation of the presence of God. How many knows we need a physical manifestation of God's presence? Moses had several of them. When he went to Pharaoh, come on, somebody get in the story with me, okay? Somebody indulge with me. When he went to Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let your people go. The Lord told him to throw his rod down. That was no big deal. But when he had to pick it up, it was a slithering snake on the floor of Pharaoh's palace. I believe that most of us would be saying exit stage right. A physical manifestation. Listen, God can use what, where, and whoever he wants to, and with whom he wants to, and what he wants to. But it's one thing to throw that rod or his staff on the ground, on the floor of Pharaoh's palace. It's another thing for him to pick up that snake. I don't know about you, but I guarantee you it would be twice before I'd pick it up, and it would be by the tail and not by the head. Anybody with me today? But what an experience. What an experience. Can you imagine? I said, can you imagine throwing your walking stick on the floor and it turned into a snake, and then God saying, pick it up again. Some of yours response would be, what you talking about, Willis? You know I'm telling you the truth. But I'm here to tell you today, we need a manifestation of God's presence. On the backside of the desert, Moses experienced a theophany. When the bush was on fire and was not consumed, and he said, I got to turn aside and see what meanest thou this. Oh, church, we need a burning bush in our life to speak to our hearts and speak to our lives in this hour that we're living in. Hey, we're living in desperate times. We haven't seen the brunt of it yet, but it's coming. I'm here to tell you it's coming. I preached to you a week or so ago about the approaching hoofbeats of the horses of the apocalypse. I'm here to tell you today, every moment and every hour and every newscast that goes by gives us more insight of those approaching hoofbeats that are coming. And it's happening. And because of that, more than ever before, we need a burning bush experience. Can somebody say amen? And when he got to that burning bush, there was such an experience that a voice spoke to him and said, pull off thy shoes because you're standing on holy ground. Listen to me today, church. We need to have a position within our heart, an attitude of our mind, that God, whatever
whatever it takes. I need a burning bush experience. And when we get to that point and we get to that place, you can rest assured that the ground will be holy. And you'll have to pull off your shoes and have an experience with an Almighty God. I said you need an experience with an Almighty God that'll stir your heart and stir your soul. A manifestation personally with a God that loves you and cares for you and desires for you to have that manifestation.
Moses had a theophany in that moment there in Exodus chapter 20 when God took his finger and by his spirit and by his power carved into the two tablets, the Ten Commandments. Can you imagine the look on Moses' face and the awe of standing in the presence of God as with the finger of God carved out the Ten Commandments in stone, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was leading his people to a higher purpose and a higher power. I'm here to tell you today that those Ten Commandments are not suggestions, but they're the Word of God for men and women to live by, that we have left, we have exited the room. But I'm here to tell you today, we must seek for the old paths and walk therein. He said, for in them there is a good way. The Ten Commandments is still good enough to live by, and greater than that, they're greater enough to die by, because we know that God is almighty and his manifestation of his grace is still with us today. So take a trip with me down to the Red Sea as the children of Israel have just left Egypt's bondage and they've whined and cried all the way. But God has manifested himself to them in many ways. But they come to the brink of the Red Sea, and in the midst of that Red Sea, they cannot see any way around it. They can't see any way over it. Nobody brought their canoes. Nobody brought their boats. But they see and they hear behind them the footprint, the hoofbeats of horses and the chariots of Pharaoh that's coming after them, and probably going to kill half of them and drag the other half back behind on their chariots. And they was worried, wringing their hands, wondering what they was going to do. Moses stretched forth his rod and the Red Sea parted from either side and left them a dry bed to go across on as they went across dry ground. A manifestation of God's presence. I don't know what body of water you needed parted today, but the same God that parted for the children of Israel is the same God that will part your waters. Hello?
Amen.
He's the same God. Did you hear me? Somebody here today needs your waters parted. You see no way out, and you see the enemy closing in on you. But I come to tell you today that the mighty manifestation of God is fixing to make a way through the waters where you didn't see any whatsoever. As they went across on dry ground, hot behind them was Pharaoh and his armies. And as they trailed in after them, listen, can I tell you that there's a path that God has made for his children that the enemy cannot trod on? Did you ever get that? It wasn't just a nonchalant story that Pharaoh tried to go in the same path as the children of Israel. It wasn't made for him. Anybody home? I see some of these lights are on, but nobody's home. Hello? You'll get that tomorrow. Are you asleep? Say amen. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Brother Steve, did you hear me? God has a path for his children that is not made for the enemy. And you cannot trod on those paths, on that path. Can you imagine being there that day? And you're standing on the other side and you're holding your breath because God made a way. Listen, this is just like us human beings. God made a way and God left the gate open and let the enemy come right across and devour us anyway. I don't think so. That path was made for his children, not the enemy. And while they got there, thought they was so cocky and was able to tread on the same path, God sent his army invisible army in the midst of that scene on dry ground and took off the bolts off of those wheels of those chariots and left them stranded. Can you imagine what the children of Israel was visualizing and what they was seeing on the other side? The God that had brought them thus far was not going to forsake them now. He was taking off the nuts off of the chariot wheels, so they began to collapse. In the middle, there was an unseen hand. We used to sing a song about, there's an unseen hand. And I believe today, church, that there's an unseen hand that you feel like you're going to be destroyed. But the God that I serve said, I am more than able. And He is about ready to give you a manifestation of His almighty presence and almighty power. And that invisible hand is reaching down in your circumstances and going to take off the wheels of the chariots of your enemy. And He's going to give you victory. And can I tell you that the waters will come crashing down on those that are trying to destroy you and those that are trying to defeat you. Listen, the enemy has no power over you. You are a child of God. You are born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are King's kid today. You are highly favored by Almighty God. You are kings and princes and made with Him because you are God's child. Glory to God. A visitation of God's presence and a visitation of God's power. Can I tell you today, His visitation is just as real as it was today as it was then? Amen. Can I tell you in Exodus chapter 34 that there was a theophany in Moses' life when he had a visitation from God? And it was such a visitation. He said, God, let me see your glory. God said, you can't see my glory, but you can see my hinder parts. And I'm going to hold my hand over your face and put you in the cleft of the rock. Listen to me, church. It's not just that he had to have a veil put over his face, but he had such a visitation of God's presence and God's power. He was in the cleft of the rock. God's hand was over his face. And yet God was so powerful that it still absorbed. God's spirit and power absorbed in Moses' life and on his face, and he had that veil when he came off the top of the mountain. Hey, I'm telling you, God's not short on commodities. God's not short on healings. Listen, just because God chose to take Sister Lori home does not diminish His healing power one single bit. He needed Sister Lori worse than we do, even though that's hard to grab a hold of. He needed her. I don't understand why God chooses to take some and heal others. But I tell you what I do choose. I choose to know and believe God that He's still the healer today as He ever was. I still believe God today that He knows what's best in my life and your life. Whether it's hard for us to grasp or not, He still knows what's best. He still knows what's best. A manifestation of God's spirit and power. Such an illumination of God's presence. A personal manifestation to Moses that he had to wear a veil when he approached the children of Israel. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. If there ever was a time in our life when we needed a theophany, it is now. We need a visible manifestation of God's presence. If you can't remember what I preached about in theophany, you just tell folks we need a visible manifestation of God's presence and we need it now. I said we need it now. No one can have that kind of encounter. No one can have that kind of encounter unless you want to, unless you pay the price, unless you seek Him. The Bible tells us that we are to knock and it shall. He'll answer the door. We are to ask for it and He will not refuse. He said if an earthly father gives his son bread, he will not give him a stone. Can I tell you today that God has your best interest in mind? And we are to seek it with all of our heart. And He said if you seek it, you're going to find it. So I ask you today, what's it going to take for us to experience a theophany moment in our life? What's it going to take for you and I to experience that kind of manifestation? Don't you know And I'm sure that all these examples that I have, that I'm about to give to you, that I've already given to you, every one of you have read it 100 times. But I hope and pray today that the Holy Spirit will come down and grab a hold of your heart and your mind and help you to see it in a light like you've never seen it before. Because you need a theophany in your heart and in your life right now, right today. You need that personal manifestation. And some of you need it personally more right now than you ever have in your life. And some of you are going to need it tomorrow. But I assure you, that experience of God's personal manifestation is just as real right now, right tomorrow, as it ever has been. It wasn't just to satisfy the needs of the Old Testament patriarchs. Hello? It wasn't just contained for them, but through the cross, as Jesus was nailed to that cross, He tore apart that place that had those things inhibited to the prophets of that time as they was moved upon. And now He makes it available to whosoever will. Whosoever will. Let me explain that for just a split second. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God moved upon a prophet and then withdrew. Moved upon a prophet and then withdrew. Even though that Spirit power was with him, it moved. But because of Jesus Christ on Calvary, and because when he left this earth to go back to his heavenly Father and said, I'll send you another comforter, in his life he tore the veil in two. In his life he sent you another comforter. Where now we can experience that every day that we live. Oh, glory. Don't you know? Somebody say, don't you know? What Isaiah had experienced as he got to visualize the throne room. It brought about a turning point in his life, a pivotal point. Isaiah I'm talking about. A pivotal point that significantly changed his direction. And it occurred within him in a moment of time. We all know this story very well. We've read it, but adapt it and apply it to your life in Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. In the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord set upon his throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one having 6 wings. And with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. That would be an experience within itself. Can you say amen? One cried unto the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. It's just for you to get in a position to grab a hold of it, to experience it. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The temple was filled with smoke, and the train of his majesty covered the floor of the temple. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I have seen him. I've experienced that manifestation of his power. Then flew one of the seraphims unto him, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom will I send? And whom will go for us? When you have a manifestation, a personal manifestation of Almighty God, it will change your ability to say, yes, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do. It was a theophany experience that Isaiah got a hold of as he experienced the train that filled the temple, the majesty, the robe that filled the temple. He experienced the smoke as it filled the tabernacle. He experienced the angels as they flew, as they covered, as they cried, "Holy, holy." He experienced the coal that was laid upon his lips. He experienced the manifestation of Almighty God. You say, "It's too much for me to comprehend. It's too much." Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Indeed, it is too much for us, but it ain't too much for Him. Hello? Somebody give Him a wave offering. I said, "It's too much for you, but it ain't too much for Him." Glory. Glory. A true personal manifestation and experience. What an awesome time it is. Now I want to explain something to you. There's many times that God speaks to our heart. He gives us a manifestation of His presence. And after He has dealt with us time and time and time again, and we have rejected Him. And I challenge you here today to hear the voice of God and be like Isaiah and say, "Hear my Lord. Hear my, send me." There was a man by the name of Daniel, in the book of Daniel, chapter 5, by the name of Belshazzar. He had seen the pride of his father and what it caused his father Nebuchadnezzar to experience. Yet, apparently, the crisis of his father's experience did not move him to change. So he had to face his own crisis, which by the time God got his attention, Belshazzar had crossed the line, and his moment of theophany, the physical appearance of God, was only a message of judgment. Are you hearing me, church? Can I tell you today, don't wait till you see the handwriting on the wall before you recognize God's manifestation to you. I said, don't wait till you see the handwriting on the wall till you recognize God's manifestation to you. Don't hesitate to make that turning point in your life. You may only get one chance to change direction. I said, you may only get one chance to change direction. To make that pivotal point and make it a successful part of your family's life. Daniel chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, Belshazzar was throwing a great party. He was just living it up, bringing in the best of wine. Belshazzar, while he was tasting the wine, commanded to bring the gold. I'm getting to some better parts, but I've got to tell you about the judgments of God as well. He's a just God, a God of judgment, a God of mercy. He could not be a God of mercy if He wasn't a God of judgment. Belshazzar commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem. Verse 3, and they brought the golden vessels that they had taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and the princes and wives and concubines drank in them or out of them. I want to tell you something today, that this king Belshazzar, I believe, actually was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Because it was not a word for grandson back in those days. So he did not adhere and grab a hold of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And not only that, he asked for the vessels that come out of the house of God to throw his wild party and to drink wine out of them as a mockery to who God really is. Can I tell you, His Word says today that God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. They brought the vessels out of the house of God to make a mockery of the things of God. I wonder how many times, unaware or unconscious, or we wasn't paying close attention of what we have taken for granted that was sacred to God. And we have made a mockery out of it because we have failed to have a personal manifestation from God Himself. He has spoken to our lives. We have been in His presence. We have seen the power of God fall on our services. And yet we sit unchanged and unmoved. And in that same hour, that he was making a mockery out of what God took as sacred and serious, in that same hour, he had a suddenly, and a finger come riding upon the wall over against the candlestick of the plaster of the king's palace. And the king saw the finger, or a part of the hand that wrote upon the wall. And in that very moment, he had that manifestation. But as I mentioned to you earlier, he had gotten to a place that he had put God aside. And only when he crossed the line to see a manifestation of God's presence, a theophany, through God's judgment as his hand wrote upon the wall. The king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him so that the joint of his loins was loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. And the king called for all of his wise men, his astrologers, everybody that he could think of, the doctors and the lawyers, and told them to come and try to interpret what was written on the wall. And I don't even have to go any further. You know what was written on the wall. You've been weighing the balances and you've been found wanting. And only... Can I tell you, when God speaks something, the devil cannot interpret it. He may try, but only God's child has the interpretation. Oh, man, I tell you what, I could preach there. I said, I could preach right there. God's got an interpretation. God's got a personal visitation for you that's only for you. But don't wait till it's a personal visitation from judgment. God has so much more for you. God has so much more for you. So moving past Belshazzar, and I'm almost finished. All I like is concluding. I could tell you of so much more, and I intend to. What time is it? It's only, 20 till 10 in California? There's so many examples of a theophany that I could tell you about, and most of you have already read them 100 times, but I hope you begin to pray as you read them. God, let me experience what they've experienced. And however the ingredients, Lord, you put it together, just let me have that encounter with you. How many are ready to have an encounter? However God puts the ingredients together, you just need an encounter, God. I wonder if we would have an encounter like some of these, what kind of impact would we make on our families, on our homes, on our communities, our town, our workplace? You see, there was Daniel in the lion's den that had an encounter with God's presence of closing the hungry mouths of the beast and making them become content when dinner was served. I hope you hear me this morning. I said he saw a manifestation of God's presence to create in a bunch of hungry lions a contentment when dinner was served. three Hebrew children by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their Chaldean names, was visited by a fourth man in the fire, a personal manifestation. Listen, can I tell you today, Jesus will show up in the midst of your fire if you'll leave the door open. He's the fourth man in the fire. It was so apparent of that visitation that the king saw him through the furnace that there was a fourth man and he looked like the Son of God. I would say that's a manifestation that I'd like to experience. Can I tell you that Peter and John had a manifestation of God's presence? They had a theophany when the crippled man got up and shouted into the church house giving praises and glory to God. They had a theophany when they seen that man worshiping and praising God and no longer needed his crutches, no longer needed assistance into the house of God, but he was praising God. All the encounters of Jesus, from opening the blinded eyes, from the lame being made to walk, from feeding the multitude with very little, from raising the dead and setting those that were possessed free from their tormentors. Can I tell you today, we still serve a God that will bring about a fulfillment of a manifestation personally into your heart, into your life. Brother Larry, Sister Teresa, would you all come to the piano? I want you to understand that just because I'm giving you all of these examples from the Bible, I am not excluding you from experiencing that theophany. It was such an experience for the disciples. Hey, we went past the Old Testament into the New Testament. When Jesus was able to walk through locked doors to manifest himself to a group of men that has in bewilderment trying to figure out what in the world has been going on the last few days. He walked through that door into their room without a transport machine. Hello? Without any kind of assistance. Because he desired to give them a theophany. Can I tell you, in the book of Acts, he manifests himself in theophany to those that were standing around about him when he said, "It's expedient that I go away to my heavenly Father, but I'll send you another comforter." And they experienced him rising into the clouds to be with his heavenly Father without a plane, a rocket ship, or helicopter, because he is the power manifested to you and I today. So can I tell you again in closing, we desperately need a theophany, a glorious manifestation of God's power and glory that will result in a turning point of our personal life. Such an experience. Such an experience that will significantly change your life, that those that you rub shoulders with will know that you've been walking with Jesus Christ. That your relationship with Him, your relationship with Jesus will make such an impact on everybody that you meet, that it will move them to a pivotal moving point, a pivotal monument. That will change their life forever simply because of what you've experienced. Would you stand all over the building today?